I'm Stephanie Overbuck.
I'm Mel Wymore.
And this is Pot of Gold. This week, we are thinking about giving. With Thanksgiving and now Giving Tuesday, it's almost impossible not to. But we want to talk about the power of giving beyond our typical holiday donation. That's why, this week, we are speaking with Rachel Cook.
Rachel Cook is the founder of Seeds, a startup focused on developing a new kind of economic system centered around giving and powered by cryptocurrency. There's enough money in the world to support every human being's needs. The problem, as Rachel sees it, is that the flow of money in capitalism is carefully managed by various gatekeepers.
With blockchain technology, Seeds can create new pathways of giving where wealth can flow more easily from person to person. We'll let Rachel explain further.
I'm Rachel Cook. I'm the founder of Seeds. Seeds is essentially a new economic ecosystem that is working to transcend the failings that I've seen in late stage capitalism. And we're using cryptocurrency technology to do that, specifically something called DeFi, decentralized finance, that allows people to escape dependence on banks and centralized control of our money so that we can be more democratic in usage of money and sort of empower one another to build abundance.
How did you come into that idea of using different kinds of money or decentralized money? And actually, what exactly does that look like?
Right on. I came into it in a sort of circuitous way. I think of it like anything that you create is like an artist or creator. I feel like there should be more of that sensibility in business, because I had an intuitive sense of something and I didn't know what it would look like. And then I started trying things and eventually it kind of took shape. But in terms of my background, I was a stock trader in Chicago and then also on Wall Street in New York. And I was always the only female trader, or one of the only two or three female traders everywhere I worked. I started trading in April of 2008 professionally. So that was right when the markets were crashing. And I figured out a way to make money during that time period as I was cutting my teeth in that sort of very difficult environment. Gold stocks were going up because people didn't trust the markets, so they wanted a more tangible asset, and then gold stocks rested on the value of gold as an asset. So it made me understand that there's always a way to make money as long as you have enough money to be able to invest in the first place. So that's a big part of the problem that Seeds is working to solve, because the current system requires us to have money in order to make money off of it, or we have to trade our time to get enough money to survive. And I think an important thing for our generation is going to be about freeing ourselves from trading our time, which is finite, for money, which is everywhere. It's not scarce. It flows all over the place. We just have these sort of bizarre gatekeepers preventing many of us from accessing it as freely as we could. So Seeds is trying to make money more accessible. So the way this actually looks, practically speaking, is that Seeds has a cryptocurrency. Anyone can redeem a single seed to ask for any amount of money that you want in US dollars. And when you make that request for help, you redeem the seed to activate that request for help. We then share it with our community on our own platforms and also through apps that have integrated our free tools. So in that way, we can automatically put your requests for assistance out in front of around 17 million people who are using the apps that have integrated our tools. So it's kind of like GoFundMe, but GoFundMe is sort of like a silo, right? It's just like a single web page. Maybe if you're lucky, they feature you like on their homepage or whatever. In this way, we can get your request out to lots of people in a distributed manner, which can source a lot more capital from people who wouldn't have discovered your need otherwise. And when they make those gifts to you, we give them Seeds and thanks as well, which they can then invest themselves. They can trade them for their local currency. They can do what's called staking them to make a passive income off of the Seeds, or they can make requests themselves. So it's just like, it's creating a bigger pie for everyone involved in a way that the old zero-sum economic system just can't by design.
It sounds like magic beans, you know, like Jack and the Beanstalk's magic beans, remember?
Right. I'm really interested in spirituality as well, and I do a lot of Vipassana meditation. And I know that various spiritual teachers are talking about how we're shifting right now through this sort of scarcity-focused paradigm and fear-based paradigm into this sort of like more abundant mindset as like humanity. Mm-hmm. And so I see that our systems are going to need to align with that as well. And so SEEDS is really about kind of figuring out a way to create a practical method of allowing that type of abundance to come in.
Yeah. Did you say 17 million users?
Yeah, that's what we can reach through the partner apps that have integrated our tools. So we have these free tools that any app can build in around 30 minutes or less, depending on the skill of the developer. And so then the request for help pop up in those apps. And the thing that we found that's really encouraging about humanity too is that when you see somebody in need popping up in your app and you can give them $1 or $2, people that have never spent money in that app are like 60% more likely to start spending in the app. So it turns out that helping people is also the most effective way to get somebody to start spending money in your app. So the apps then make more money as well.
Okay, so so basically you're spreading the seeds through applications, and the seeds are a blockchain application that is essentially a proxy for a GoFundMe or some kind of a request for money.
Yes. But in an effort to, I realize that can sound super complex, especially if somebody's entirely new to like cryptocurrency and blockchain things. So what I would say to distill it down to make it digestible is just that we believe that in order to shift into a healthier system for everybody, it creates a bigger pie for all. We need to be rewarding giving people. If the generous giving people were the billionaires, I think the world would be a very different place. And so when someone makes a contribution to a person who is in need, who has requested help through SEEDS, we give that person the SEEDS cryptocurrency in thanks. And they can then invest it, as I said, or stake it for a passive income or make requests themselves. So it's just like our tool is more multi-optional. Mm-hmm. It's more dimensional. You can do 5 or 6 different things with it instead of 1 or 2 things. Mm-hmm. So in order to get involved, all you would need to do is make a donation to somebody in need, and you can do that in your local currency using a card. So it's actually pretty simple to start engaging.
When you envision a different economy with more distributive money or access to abundance, so to speak, do you see currency playing a role in that? And do you see cryptocurrencies in particular playing a role? And if so, why?
I think currencies will still need to play a role, at least for the foreseeable future. And cryptocurrencies, because of their decentralized nature, I think are a lot more appealing for everybody for several reasons. So I think we're going to need to get away, as I said, from this system that forces so many of us to trade our time, often doing something we don't like very much, for money. I think if we can support people so that they're then able to figure out and execute on what they can sense they're uniquely meant to do in this lifetime, that's going to create a much larger macroeconomic value for everybody. And robots are going to take over a lot of the jobs that humans are doing that they don't like anyway. So it's jobs are going to go away inevitably. So the idea with a tool like SEEDS and using cryptocurrency to execute, to practically make a system like this work, is it like for instance, what if you could redeem a single seed to get 6 months of living expenses covered so that you could work on the novel that you wanted to write or just heal? What if you've experienced trauma and you're in survival mode? You live in a country like I live in where you're not very well taken care of by governmental systems. So, you know, like, what are you going to do if you have that additional resource from your fellow human beings, which is what the SEEDS community is? We support one another using these tools. If you can do that healing, you're going to be able to contribute a lot more later on because you'll be able to thrive instead of just getting by. So yeah, I think jobs are going to go away. I think we're going to shift from this time-based economic model, much in the way that we shifted from like a land-based economic model with the fall of the feudalist system when like the French Revolution happened, right? Like I've been thinking a lot about Napoleon and like parallels to now. We're just stuck in that system. We're stuck in that scarcity sense. And once we get out of that, I think humanity will really be able to just kind of like have a quantum leap forward. It's the money system, I think, that is holding so many of us down in a lot of ways.
Definitely feels like we're at a, like we're at the brink, right? We've maybe spent this system. You know, maybe we're at the end of its utility. And I think we're on the same page with you in terms of what else is there? What's next? What different systems can we think of? What direction is humanity taking? And I'm really fascinated by the way you're growing your network. And can you give a sense of kind of the speed of growth? Like that's very quick, right? From 2017 till now, going to 17 million users. And I understand there's this other you have a vessel of your applications to do that. But do you think it's a vibe that people are joining? Is it more of a energy?
First, I should say that it hasn't been quick, at least from my perspective as the founder. It can sometimes, I think, look like that from the outside. But we incorporated Seeds in February of 2013. It was just that we introduced the cryptocurrency component in late 2017. So there's that. And then also, it takes a while to get an app partner, but if an app that has 5 million users starts using our tools and suddenly we have access to 5 million more people, so that's, it can kind of stair step and sort of what seems like bigger leaps. Yeah, but I think there is this vibe, the statistic I mentioned earlier where we found that putting the ability to help others into an app that they already use is the most effective way to get them to start spending in the app. I think that's amazing, and that probably would have been true, I don't know, a generation ago or something if apps existed then, you know. So yeah, something is definitely shifting, and I think one of our biggest challenges right now is helping people to understand that using cryptocurrency, first of all, that even though there are a lot of douchey people in that sector and it's super misogynistic, it's way worse than finance and other sectors of tech that I've been in. So there's kind of this like bad taste, I think, a lot of like the average person has, if they hear the word Bitcoin, they're kind of like, what is that? And isn't it kind of shady? So part of our challenge is first to help people understand that, like, well, actually the tools that underpin that can really be helpful for humanity and can really do a lot of good if the right people are using them. The second thing is like, if you're a good, generous, giving person, I want you to be the people that are getting rich in cryptocurrency. So please get involved now. I think there's going to be a big cryptocurrency run in the near future. Bitcoin's right now, as of this moment, you know, like Bitcoin's as high as it's been since its last run in late 2017, early 2018. It hasn't been this high in nearly 3 years. So that's a big deal. And if it runs again, I don't want the same old people getting richer off of it, right? So it's helping people to understand that like this technology actually is really, really beautiful when it's applied in a certain way. You should be the ones getting rich off of it, and we can teach you how to do that. And we have a course to help people get onboarded if they're interested in doing that. And we include cryptocurrency in the tuition, so you already have some to start playing with, like out the gate.
Have fun, like a little Rector set of money. I do want to ask a little bit about gatekeepers. You mentioned kind of our society is made up of these gatekeepers, and I think we all have an experience of that, but maybe you could articulate what exactly you're talking about and why is it so inaccessible for people to get capital?
That's such an important question, I think. And yeah, just as you're saying, I think virtually all of us have had some negative experience with a gatekeeper, whether it's like a centralized bank or just trying to get a loan, trying to get money for your education, whatever it may be. It's only a very, very tiny percentage of the population that has never experienced those sort of negativities. So I mean, I can talk about my own personal experience as a woman in tech and as a female stock trader. It was bad when I was a stock trader in terms of like the misogyny in the sector. And that's when I started waking up to it. I was 24 when I became a stock trader, and it was just like, why are there no women here? And why was I paid less even though I did a better job than all of these dudes? Like, the system taught me that I was supposed to be rewarded for performance, and that hasn't happened in the way that I was led to believe. So what's up with that? So that made me start thinking about like, okay, what is this system really, and how is it designed, and what would a better system look like? So the gatekeepers, if you're 99.99% of the population, are the people that are already controlling the money, which are the US government, whatever centralized government, you know, the U.S. government can issue and does issue dollars. When COVID shut everything down earlier this year, they printed billions of additional dollars and just, you know, injected that into the economy. And decentralized systems don't do that and can't kind of manipulate things in that way. For me, like founding Seeds after having a bad experience in finance as a stock trader was even worse, because you have to raise money to have a business initially before it's profitable. In most cases, sometimes people are really clever and they can get to profitability without outside investment. But in like 2018, something like 2.2% of all venture capital dollars, and that's the sector that invests in tech startups, went to women. So it's just like, that was 2 years ago. And I've had so many experiences where it's felt very clear that I needed to be at least twice as good as like the guy standing next to me in order to get half as much. And I've come to accept that. I think it's made me a stronger founder. But it's hard. And Seeds would be a lot bigger if I'd had just even a larger fraction of the support that the average male founder gets. And so I don't want people to deal with that anymore. What if you could redeem a seed and get $1 million for your startup? Like, and not have to deal with a bunch of meetings. This is a very first class problem, but like not have to deal with a bunch of meetings with rich people who are overwhelmingly not very philanthropically minded, like a certain type of person. It's the same narrow sort of demographic of people controlling that whole sector. And if it's tech influences so much of what's going on in the world now. So there's this media theorist who's American called Douglas Rushkoff. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. His thing is like, tech is so dysfunctional because its OS, its operating system, is capitalism. And I like to extend that idea to say that capitalism is so dysfunctional because its operating system is patriarchy. And by that, I mean a system that overvalues masculine energies and undervalues feminine energies, which people of all genders have. Like, yeah. I feel like I have a ton of masculine energy because the system has taught me that that's how you survive, right? Yeah. So I think with the spiritual shift that seems to be happening and ascension, we're moving into what I think is going to be a healthier balance of masculine and feminine energies. And Seeds is also, I think, very much about aligning those two things as well. So I really feel like we're on trend to where I think society is heading. So it's just a matter of trying to find the best way to successfully share that with people who can hear that message now, so that they get involved now, so that they can benefit, you know, like longer term as Seeds hopefully go up in value and so forth.
So Rachel, you mentioned the crisis with COVID and the government injecting, or basically, I mean, which is in a way a good thing, you know, that they printed money and like injected it into the economy, helping people. How do you see what do you call the economic renaissance and democracy? How do you see that?
Oh, that's so interesting. Oh, what a fascinating question, which I probably only have a half-baked answer to. But yeah, I mean, my first thoughts are, so one thing I feel like I've come to understand with this idea of like patriarchy being the OS of capitalism and the problems that creates is that it brings in binaries. It creates a zero-sum paradigm. Like, for example, when I was a stock trader, and it's entirely manufactured, right? So when I was a stock trader, if I made a dollar, it meant somebody else literally lost that same dollar. And that was it. It's a winner-take-all methodology, and it teaches us that that's how we should sort of view the world. Like, someone's going to take what's ours if we don't defend it. And that's entirely made up. And the political system in the States and around the world, it's still often not, I think it's not as much the case as it is in the States. But we're working with binaries. Tech is ones and zeros. I found out that Leibniz, who's credited, the mathematician who lived like 380 years ago, right? Who's credited with being the father of binary mathematics. He came up with the idea to use ones and zeros because he was trying to figure out how to express logic problems, written logic problems, numerically. And he was reading the I Ching, and that gave him the idea to yin and yang, which is, you know, discussed throughout the I Ching, gave him the idea to use ones and zeros. And I think he really fucked up because it's like yin and yang flow together in harmony. It's masculine and feminine flowing together in harmony. That gave him the idea in translation to use all or nothing, ones or zeros, to express his ideas. And that's the foundation of every technological system we interact with today, even quantum computing systems. So it's just like these binaries have become the building blocks of so much of our lives, and that there's no room for nuance there. And it just, it collapses everything down in this contracted manner. So yeah, I think the governing systems that we're working with, I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but I think we are going to shift away from these binaries and get into sort of like more multidimensional types of systems, which is what I believe Seeds is. And it's what we're trying to be.
I think it's what you're talking about isn't necessarily about a binary system. It's just that it's misinterpreted and misutilized. Like yin yang is a flow of two entities, but it is this kind of ongoing balance and moving energy, whereas this binary 1-0 system is very static.
Exactly. From the beginning, it's a one or a zero, it's a concrete one or a zero, and that's all it is. I mentioned that I do a lot of Vipassana meditation, and no joke, one day when I was meditating, this idea came in that the foundational blocks of the next level computing system, I think instead of ones or zeros, which are concrete from the outset, like you said, I think they're going to have to behave more like matter, able to be a particle or a wave at both simultaneously, depending on the observer. Something like that would make for sort of more multi-optionality. But I don't know how we're going to get there.
I mean, I think the other part of it is this limited, you know, this binary system where you say it's either or, but also endless growth is required for that system.
Right. And that's also not natural. You know, like if you look at the way the planets move, there's a spiral course of progress. They do move with like a forward thrusting motion, but there's other cycles taking place in other dimensions, right? So we have this like linear sort of phallic type trajectory that we think that everything needs to follow, particularly if it's economics. That's how venture capital thinks. Oh, I want to invest in a startup that's just going to go up, right? And that's not in tune with how natural growth actually happens typically. So, I mean, yeah, I think we're going to have to understand, we're going to have to completely rethink the way we do so many things. Narrative storytelling is often it's the hero's journey. It's just this two-dimensional trajectory with a trough, and then it's going back up again. I've been thinking a lot about storytelling and how that could be more aligned with like the spiral course of progress idea. Yeah, so it's just, it doesn't make sense. And this is also why I'm not terribly concerned about AI like murdering all of us in the future, because I'm reading Andrew Yang's book right now. I don't know if you guys have read it, The War on Normal People. And he talks about how AI can get very, very good at one single thing, and then it's terrible at everything else. And that's what I think happens when we have these linear trajectories where the foundation from the beginning is ones and zeros. There's just sort of narrow range of potential. Yeah, so it's just, we're going to have to become more multi-optional.
So when we talk about Seeds, you are, the business form is a startup. How does this align with Vipassana meditation and all these beautiful things you say? So it almost seems a bit contradictory, right? Can you explain what kind of startup that really is, or what you really want to create?
Sure, fair point. So Seeds is a Delaware C Corp, which was a decision I made because I thought that would make it easier to raise money from venture capitalists, which wasn't really the case. But there's kind of a binary in that world too. You're either a corporation / whatever traditional business, or you're a B Corp in the States, at least. That was the structure that existed that seemed to be the best vehicle for trying to get this out there, I guess, of what existed at the time. And now I get so frustrated and angry about the limitations of the current system and the discrimination baked into it oftentimes. So it's like, how do I also kind of forgive those things and work within what's here to help us get to what seems to be coming next? So part of the idea with, you know, offering the free Seeds tools for apps to integrate so they can build social good into their products is aligned with that idea of trying to work with what's already there, so that, you know, I expect a moment in the future where businesses that never thought about social good will be like, oh, Gen Z really only wants to use products that are in some way engaging with social good. Oh, look, here's seeds. We can build this into our product in 30 minutes, make more money, and also help people in need at the same time. So it's that idea of like not condemning the system and trying not to be too heartbroken about it, so that we can work within it. And then applying that to myself as well, so that I don't know what a better structure would be than the structure we've elected to use, you know? If that ever comes to me, then we would do it. But yeah, that was the genesis of deciding to be like a traditional startup. And then relating to Vipassana meditation, I wanted to try and bring Vipassana into Seeds and the design that I saw working in that system into Seeds. It's the most best run organization I've ever seen, nonprofit or for profit, even though it's a nonprofit. You know, there are these 200 centers. Like I said, they're mostly volunteer run. They're all around the world. They just work really, really well. And so, yeah, I wanted to bring that in to what we're doing as much as possible. It's also the healthiest balance of masculine and feminine energy that I've ever encountered in a sort of institution. So for instance, if you redeem a seed to ask for help and your request is granted, the largest gift we've given so far to somebody who redeemed a seed to ask for help was $3,324. So one seed in that case was worth $3,324 to that person. So you can do that twice. You can get two gifts. But then after that, we ask you to either pay a third of what you've been given forward to other people in need, or sit a Vipassana course. And that's very much about this idea that like the Vipassana courses are free and they're volunteer run, but after you've sat two, they ask you to volunteer. So that helps sustain the system. And it also just feels good to give. So that's the other thing that we're offering our community that I think is completely ignored within the traditional capitalistic system, that the value of that isn't taken into account. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it is within the word, no seed. I mean, it's sowing ecologically equitable, decentralized societies, which the word itself is bigger than money.
You made an acronym. Yeah, right on. Yeah, totally.
Is there anything, Rachel, you would like to say, or which we haven't asked, where you think, hey, guys, you haven't asked that question, which is really important?
Maybe I'll leave with this idea, which is that even if it sounds complex and you feel like you need to learn more before engaging, we have a course, like I said, but then again, you can just make a donation on our website, which is seedsgives.com, in order to get seeds and start using them right away. So it's actually pretty simple. And like, for example, or for the sake of analogy, if you're thinking about Google, right? Like, you don't have to understand the inner workings of the internet in order to Google something and get value out of Googling something, right? You just need to know how to read and write and have an internet connection and how to search. So it's the same thing with us. You just have to use the internet and follow the instructions and you can engage with seeds. And that's it. I really want to encourage you, especially women. This is a stereotype, but I found because we're doing so much outreach to try and get more cryptocurrency in women's hands, there's often this hesitation in the sense that I need to learn more before I do anything. I don't want anyone to miss this moment. Bitcoin is at highs right now, higher than it's been in almost 3 years, as I said. Please get involved at this moment. We can help you. You can visit seedsgives.com/help to make a gift to someone in need. If you want to do that to get seeds, as I said. And then we also have this course. You can go and sign up for the waitlist if you'd like at seedsgives.com/waitlist.
We'll include that in the notes, the show notes as well, if you give us the link.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So you can sign up for the course waitlist. We'll teach you everything you need to know to get up to speed. And we also give you, the tuition is $19.99 USD, but we give you $19.99 USD worth of seeds, which makes the course effectively free. But then you're getting like a decent amount of investment off the bat, and you'll have that cryptocurrency. And yeah, this is actually an idea I should really stress. The people that got rich in Bitcoin is the oldest cryptocurrency, are the people that had, you know, a couple thousand dollars worth of it if they weren't mining it, the people that bought it when it was very cheap and held on to it for a long time. So seeds are worth like 7.5 cents on the market right now, I think. We want to give you a big chunk of those so that you have the opportunity to build wealth with those over time too. And again, we'll teach you how. Well, I use my experience as a stock trader, and all of that comes in to kind of help you get up to speed.
Sounds like fun.
Maybe we should sign up.
I would love to have you. That would be wonderful.
Well, we really appreciated your time today. Thank you so much. And I think our listeners are going to be excited to hear about seeds. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Very refreshing, Rachel. Really wonderful. Also to have a woman speaking about crypto, really very much appreciated.
Thank you. Yeah, there aren't too many. Yeah, thank you guys for this opportunity. I really, really appreciate it.
So Mel, you could have go on and on and on about binaries, but I was really interested and I think this is also very visual, so this yin-yang, which often enough, I think our Western mind doesn't quite get. How can two things be not the same? The duality of it. I think duality is probably the word which kind of explains this concept of yin-yang best. And clearly today, you know, in our society, in this Western capitalistic societies, the yin has kind of left. And it's a question how to get that yin back. Yin is more the feminine side. The decentralization is very much the yin quality. So that is you know, missing. And for me, and maybe that would have been also an interesting question to Rachel, is how to awake, is seed that tool? I guess it's one of those tools. How can we awake that yin in our societies again? How can we kind of get it back and make things more balanced? And we desperately need to, you know, because we are under tremendous time pressure in our society to kind of get it right.
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like seeds is... Well, she's designed seeds as a more balanced, intuitive, community-oriented, non-centralized organization. And if that's what yin means, then that's, I think, what she's trying to do. I mean, I'm fascinated. I found the conversation really refreshing because it really is kind of a transformative idea to make money available to people who aren't going to don't have access and make it abundant, but also incorporate service and you know, kind of paying it forward, all of those things together to create an organization. And you know, I really applaud her creativity and energy around that. And I think in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I hope it works, right? I hope in the practical world, it's true that we're ready for something like that, that we will naturally gravitate, you know, to creating new kinds of structures and new ways of interacting with each other.
Yeah, it's a bit like democracy. Without us going to vote, democracy doesn't work. So if without us using those new tools, they will never come to life.
Right. And I was really heartened by the fact that 17 million, I know that she said it feels slow, but 17 million users or that you can access and that are funding different people and supporting different people, that's quite a substantial.
Well, I guess she meant in comparison to like more centralized platforms such as Airbnb, Facebook, and you know, like tremendous growth.
Yeah, but maybe that's the nature of the beast, that it's
exactly
distributed and it's feminine energy, and the growth comes more naturally and you know, and more sustainably. You know, who knows? I mean, it's great. It's a really great thing to watch, and I hope everyone gets involved at least to see the access to cryptocurrency or take the course. I think, you know, it was a real offer, and it felt like a very generous offer to engage that way and learn something new, a new way of thinking.
We're an independent, listener-supported podcast.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul.
Support us by rating this episode and sharing with all your friends.
And to learn more, join us at potofgold.world.
I'm Stephanie Overbach.
And I'm Mel Wymore.
Thanks for listening.